Good morning, everyone. This morning we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke once again, and we will have the last prayer of Jesus on the cross. So we've been on the cross, this is the third week now with respect to prayers on the cross, and of course, hallowed ground to be sure. We're going to, if you just sing along this morning, to Jesus paid it all. I heard the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So let's sing along. Father, we do thank you that you are here. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the price that you paid for our sin. We thank you for the power of the resurrection, victorious over sin and death. We thank you for your ascension and your being seated at the right hand of the Father ever living to make intercession for us. And lead us this morning by your Spirit as we spend a few moments together in your word and then in time of prayer. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. As you know, there were seven short statements, basically, or short phrases that Jesus, that we have recorded anyway, of Jesus's on the cross. And four of these are after the darkness. And last week we had the thief on the cross with that wonderful prayer saying, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And then verse 44, now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Now we have four of the seven statements made from this point forward. One in the Matthew account is, why have you forsaken me? And we had an indication of that when we went through that prayer. One of the underlying items there is sin always separates us from the Father because he cannot condone or communicate, or I shouldn't say communicate, but he cannot live with sin because of his purity. And so he did forsake his son at that time because he's holy and Jesus was representing your sin and mine. And then in the John account, we had the two words, I thirst and it is finished. Such a victorious statement. And in the Luke account today, we have the seventh statement, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It would appear that the darkness for the 3 hours from noon to three was certainly miraculous. It couldn't have been a normal eclipse because of the Passover time and the position of the full moon. But, you know, we don't have to try to explain anything that God does. If we could explain it, we all know that he would be too small to be the God we need, because his ways are not our ways. He didn't seem to have a problem in Egypt having it dark for 3 days, let alone 3 hours. And at the same time, he didn't seem it was a problem to keep the lights on, so to speak, in the land of Goshen for the children of Israel. But here, it would appear that full wrath of God was borne by our Lord and Savior in that three-hour period of not only taking your sin and mine and forgiving it and paying the price for forgiveness, but taking the full wrath of God for that sin and all the sin of the world. So I believe that at the end of that three-hour period, Jesus' work was done. His physical expiration didn't really have an awful lot to do at this point because the price has been paid, right? Often people on the cross would live 2, 3, 4 days. They had one instance where somebody lived apparently 9 days. And Jesus was only on the cross 6 hours. Pilate was surprised when Joseph of Arimathea asked for the body. Oh, is he dead already? But there was no need for Jesus to stay on the cross. And Jesus did not die, I don't think, from a physical death. He chose to take his life, right? He said, I can pick it up and I can lay it down again. So his work was done there on the cross in John 17. Of course, we have those great words, Father, I have glorified you on the earth, what I have finished the work which you have given to me. And so we have here then that last phrase that he made. Before that, however, we see a very significant thing here. It says, the veil of the temple was torn in two. Now we read that and it doesn't mean maybe an awful lot to us in reality. We've never seen the veil. I heard it was 6-8 inches thick. It was so thick that even horses couldn't pull it apart. But it was the separator between Holy God, who represented his place in the Holy of Holies, and man. And only the high priest could go in one day a year. He'd go in twice. He'd go in first for himself and then for the nation of Israel once a year. No one else could ever go into the Holy of Holies. So if you or I were alive at that point, unless we happen to be the high priest, and it's kind of doubtful with our last names, unless we've got some Levites in here, I'm not sure, but he would go in and then make atonement for the nation for another year, but nobody could have access directly to the Father. Now, the price of sin has been paid. Now the way is open, and so we see the veil of the temple was torn in two. And we are invited in Hebrews and other places in the Bible to come into the throne of grace, not to the throne of judgment, but to the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace with what? With a true heart and a full assurance of faith. And so then we read in verse 46, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice. Now again, this is a victorious cry, really. This is not a cry of defeat. This is not a last gasp of just a whisper, although most people on the cross couldn't make a noise more than a whisper because they couldn't get enough air in their lungs to really support a loud voice. But Jesus is not a normal situation here, it would seem, in that regard. He cried out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So he is giving up, in a sense. Some of your translations may be the ghost. I don't know that I particularly like that word. I'd like the word spirit better. Of course, you could say, well, it means the same thing in a way. But Into your hands I commit my spirit. The work is done. The propitiation has been met. The price has been paid. It is done. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now, some interesting things are occurring there. You can just see that crowd of people. They've been jeering and mocking. But now there's been 3 hours of darkness, and I'm sure that crowd is thinned out. Pretty much everybody has left. They wouldn't wait around in the dark for 3 hours, probably, although I don't know how you could find your way out of there with in the dark. But so I don't know how many were there, but we see the centurion saying, certainly this man was a righteous man. Here's a centurion who saw what would happen. He glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And the whole crowd, it says, the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, they beat their breasts. Now, again, that term may not mean much to us, but for the Jews, that was the indication of the greatest grief they could demonstrate, really, beating their breasts. They often would tear their clothes at the same time and then beat their breasts. So I think it's dawning on the people, what have we done? What have we done? But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. So that's, in the Luke account, it. That's all that is said about Jesus and his last breath. But we know it says everything, and we know now that Joseph will come and ask to take the body down, and he'll put it in his own family hewn tomb there in Jerusalem. And then we have the glorious resurrection to come in about 3 days. So what does this mean to us? Well, one, it means we have access to the Father now. We come with our sins forgiven, but we still need to come and confess our sins and repent, don't we? Because even in a forgiven state, we still sin, don't we? And we need to be cleansed before the Lord so we are not separated from Him through sin. We need to give God all the glory for what He has done in reconciling us back to Him after Adam's sin separated us from Him. And we see that Jesus did not die as a martyr in the wrong place, in shame, and how could this have happened? He just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. No, he died victoriously, victorious over sin and over death, just right on time as he can and will, saying, I have the power to lay my life down and take it up again. And finally then, as I mentioned in John 17, in the great high priestly prayer, he was able to say to the Lord at this point, or to the Father at this point, I have glorified you on the earth. He really right before that said what? All authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. And I have been given the power of eternal life. And this is eternal life, what? That they may know God, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And so this work now has been done. The price has been paid on the cross. Father, we thank you for just a little glimpse of what was done there on Calvary so many years ago. And yet we know that the power of the blood was just not a one-time occasion that happened 1900 years ago plus, but the power of the blood is forever. The power of the blood cleanses us from all sin past, all sin present, and even all sin future. And so, Lord, we need the power of your blood today. We need that cleansing. We need that refreshment, Lord. We need that totally giving ourselves over to you. And so, Lord, help us to die to self, to die to ourself. Yes. And, Lord, as we see you on the cross, we want to, in a sense, enter in to see ourselves crucified as well. Lord, I've been crucified with Christ. I'm no longer this old man of sin. All things have become new. I'm a new creation in Christ because of what you have done. And indeed, may all things be new in us. And so here we are today with the awareness that the veil has been rent, that the way to the throne is open, and we're to come boldly. We're to pray. We're to pray for kings and those in authority. We're to pray for the lost, Lord. I believe we're to pray for your church. I believe we're to pray for all of the little bodies that make up the big body of Christ. And I believe we ought to pray more than anything else just to bring you honor and glory and thanksgiving. At the same time, making those supplications and intercessions as you will. We want to pray for Creation Fest. We want to pray for outreaches. We want to pray for this nation. So Lord, lead us and guide us in this time of prayer now. And Lord, help us to pray only as you lead us, Holy Spirit, meaning short prayers. Prayers for others, this is intercession now. Personal prayers, Lord, we'll do in a few minutes when we pray separately with two or three other people, one or two other people. But right now, we just want to come as one group, led by one Spirit, and praying as you lead us. So we surrender to you. We ask you to fill us with your power and lead us now in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.